Hello, everybody. I am Aaron Ruckman, Program Manager, and today we will be talking about the Making PC Recovery Easier Using the Diagnostics and Recovery Toolset, also known as the DART Tools. So, to begin with, how many of you have or know something about DART? Raise your hand. Oh, good. Well, most of you. Well, for the rest of you, what we're going to do is we're going to go through a whirlwind tour of what DART is, how you can use it, and what the tools are, as well as scenarios. The second thing that we're going to do is we're going to identify ways that you can deploy DART across your enterprise. That's actually, we're not going to spend a lot of time in that area, but we will cover a few of them on a high level. We actually are going into a couple of them more deeply in the more advanced scenarios, because we want to show you some advanced ways that you can take DART and leverage it in your enterprise. Finally, what we want you to take away is that DART enables you to meet the needs of a highly productive global workforce, and also that the DART tool automation is seamless and is very robust. So, in thinking about this, what DART is, it's all about disasters. And disasters come in many different forms. I went off and did a little bit of research and found that these were the notable worms and viruses found in the last 50 years or so, give or take. And what I found is that over time, the worm and virus creators are actually increasing in notable viruses over time. So just think about, what do you think was the most notable virus or worm infection since 2003? Think about that for a minute. What do you think? What do you think it is? Does someone know? Someone think they might know? I'll give you a hint. In 2008, Microsoft put out a reward for $250,000 to find the writer of the Conflicker virus worm that was put out. And this impacted the world, actually. And what happened is that the UK was impacted, the France ministry was impacted, the US ministry, US government was impacted, and we went on and we said, okay, we got to do something about this. So Microsoft actually went off and did a security push to really help eliminate this, and I'll talk about this more later. Now, another interesting thing is, what do you think the very first virus ever written was? It was written actually in 1949. And in 1949, there was a guy working on, he's now known as the father of virology. And he actually created a document when he was working on atom bombs that was called the theory of self-reproducing automata. And he created on paper the first computer virus, actually. And that's been the basis of many different viruses today. Now, the reason why he was doing it wasn't because, does anyone know who this is? This is actually a guy named von Neumann. And he actually was trying to develop a way to mine asteroids and moons. And he said that the only way that we would ever be able to do so was with his theory of self-reproducing automata. So if you didn't learn anything else today, you learned about the very first virus that was ever created. Now, these are disasters that could impact our IT organizations. But what I want for you to think about now is, what disasters might impact your IT organization? Because today, in our world, we have ways, methodologies, things that we do which address what happens when we lose our file and when we lose our files and data when they're in our back offices, right? When they're on the data center. But what do we do if our desktop loses, desktop machine loses its files, or if it becomes corrupted, or if it crashes? Maybe this has happened to you once in a while. Once. Your executive calls. He's been working on his PowerPoint presentation or his Excel document all morning, and his machine blue screens. He can't, last known good won't get him back, and he's halfway around the world. What do you do in that situation? That's not a very fun place to be. It's a, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do, and I have to go and help him. It's really reactive. The second thing that happens in our environments is that we are all distributed. How many of you have just one office that you support? How about two? Three? Four? Five? 10? 15? And are they all in the same geographic location? Of course not, right? You might have somebody perhaps here in Madrid. Maybe you have somebody over in Silicon Valley in the United States. Maybe you have someone over in India. Maybe you have an office in the UK. So we're spread across the entire world. Finally, typically for the desktop, we don't think about recovery planning. Our recovery planning for a desktop is, well, what am I going to do if it blows up? I'm simply going to re-image the box and give it back to the user. There you go. Have a nice day. But we know that the traditional approaches to machine recovery really won't meet the needs of a highly productive workforce today. We have to do something different. So the focus of our what we should need to do, the solution to this problem, really needs to focus on shifting us from a reactive paradigm to a proactive planning paradigm, where we think about, well, what can we do in this situation with the executive who loses his laptop and has to get the data back that same day, even if he's halfway around the world? Also, the other thing that we need to do is we need to provide the tools to identify the root cause. Now, you can do this today via telephone call. You might have to go and maybe have remote session, but certainly if your global workforce is spread out across the world, it's not as easy anymore to just walk into their office, look over their shoulder, maybe sit down at their desk, and help them out. Finally, what we want to do is we want to keep those workers in their zone as long as possible. We don't want to interrupt their productivity, and so the time from when they have a problem to issue solved is very important to help them out. Another thing that we can do is in Dart 8, we've tried to make it simple for our users to create images and to deploy the Dart image out to your enterprise. So for example, I'm going to talk about the various different types of deployments we've done. We've actually added a couple that make your life a lot easier. So now instead of having to go, and we do a lot of that work for you, and we'll talk about that. So the common scenarios that we're trying to solve then revolve around recover unbootable PCs. Now, at Microsoft, we know it doesn't happen often, and we don't like it when it does, but occasionally your screen will do the blue screen of death. And when that happens, you need to have a way to work around that. Also, what happens when someone comes into your office and they say, you know, I can't believe it, I forgot to back up, I didn't check it into some source control system, and I accidentally permanently deleted a file. What can you do in that case? Also, another common one, but doesn't happen often, is the ability for you to go off and you lose a partition. So when you lose a partition, that doesn't happen, but Dart can actually help you solve that problem as well. Also, there is, maybe some of you, after you've had a laptop for several years, maybe, how many of you recycle PCs after you've used them for a while? Give them away to charity, yeah? So, but before that happens, you kind of maybe leave them in a closet, And sometimes you might even bring them back out and want to repurpose the box. And when that happens, maybe you're like me in my environment, but we change the admin password once every month, maybe once every 3 months, maybe once every 6 months. And so if it's been sitting in a closet for longer than like 6 months, I might not even remember any of the passwords that are local. So what do you do if you want to go in and not have to reimage the box? Dart has a solution for that as well, to be able to reset the local password to get information off your box. So Dart also, in this release, supports Windows Defender Offline. We talked about the viruses that we had, and I'm going to talk about it more, but Dart actually has the ability to run Windows Defender malware and antivirus solution in an offline mode to help purge and attempt to fix issues, even when they get deep down into the boot sector. Also, now I know that a lot of you already asked this question, but when you recycle your PCs and you prepare your disk for donation, you don't want your IP to get out into the public domain, right? So Dart has a tool, a solution, that'll enable you to wipe that hard drive and ensure that machine is clean before you give it off to someone that you just don't know. Finally, we have a really cool tool which enables you to not only not have to leave your office, but also be able to set up a remote session halfway around the world as long as you have internet connectivity to that PC. So, Dart has a bunch of tools, lots of them. And so in order to help us understand these tools, we've categorized these into three categories: disk and file, administrative, and recovery tools. I'm not going to go into every single tool in the high overview session. We'll talk about the majority of them during this presentation. But I just want to touch on the ones that are probably most interesting. So disk wipe is a tool where before you go and recycle that PC, you can go and choose to do a deep level format with either a single pass, which goes and randomly chooses ones and zeros and lays them out across the disk, or you can have a four pass, which meets the Department of Defense standard, which does four different passes of random ones and zeros across the disk. Another really cool tool is File Restore. File Restore is the tool that if you delete permanently that file, you can recover that file as long as the OS hasn't recovered those partition or those sectors on the OS. Now, one of the things that if you're using an SSD drive with Trim really recovers those sectors fast. So that's one of the things that you just have to keep in mind, is that you might not be able to get it back if you're using SSD with Trim. It's becoming more common, but it's still perhaps not mainstream quite yet. The last thing you can do is you can use a standard Explorer. We also do searching inside of Dart as well. The administrative tools are the typical ones that you would find within Windows as well. The computer management, registry editor. The coolest tool, though, in the set is a remote connection. Using remote connection, you can set up a session between yourself you don't have to leave your office if you've got the Dart tools installed, and an image, as long as you have an internet connection, that'll allow you to remote into that image. And then you can use that image, you can use that session as if you were sitting right in front of it, and you're sitting there with them, with the person that's actually having the issue. They don't even have to be there. They can walk away. If they want to, they can give you access to their machine and then walk away to their meeting and then come back and everything's fixed and everything's happy. And you become the hero. For our recovery tools, we support Crash Analyzer. Now, historically what happens if you want to go and debug a memory dump file, you have to go get the debugger SDK, you probably have to go get a Windows DBG, you've got to go probably get a Visual Studio or a similar environment to go to step through the code. DART has included in it, both from your box as well as you could also put it into the image, the ability to get a direction for what's happened on the box. And we'll go actually have a little demo on that later, which is really cool, I think. We talked about Windows Defender. Windows Defender is that tool which enables you to clean off your boot sector if you get those really gnarly problems that happen once in a while and you need to clean your boot sector. Locksmith, now this is the jewel of the kingdom. So you want to protect this one very, very well if you can, if you're going to roll Dart out to your enterprise. Locksmith is a tool that if it will reset any local user password on the box. And it does it in a way such that you can go and restart, or you go and you can reset the administrator password, reboot the box. When it comes back on again, you now have root access to the machine and can get the data off that you need to and be able to get things done from in a very effective manner. Very, very powerful tool. Protect it. We'll talk about strategies to do so in a minute. Also, sometimes users perhaps might, or maybe through other means, you might find that you have a patch in your box that you can't uninstall when the OS is running. So Dart enables you to go in through into a Dart image and be able to uninstall those patches that you might not otherwise be able to uninstall if the operating system was turned on. So those are the Dart tools at a high level. Now, what we're going to talk about next are the strategies at a high level for how do I deploy, or what are my methodologies that I can use for deploying the Dart image. How many of you in the last year have bought or acquired a machine with a CD-ROM or DVD drive? Anybody? Oh, we got a couple. Oh, good. A couple of you. Excellent. So Dart creates an ISO image, which you can then burn to either a DVD or mount, or burn to a CD-ROM if you so desire. And then you can leave this, you can then take that CD-ROM or that mounted image and use it appropriately. The second way that we do that, we know that the majority of you, though, haven't bought PCs with CD-ROMs for the last little while. So the second way that we do this is that we've created, inside of our tools, at the time when you create the Dart image, you plug in a USB key, and we will actually create a bootable USB drive for you based on that ISO that you have. So you can take that USB key, plug it into any machine, reboot, boot into the Dart image, and you're on your way. Pretty cool. How many of you use Pixie Boot, also called RIS? Yep, excellent. You can take the WIM that we create with Dart via our remote tool, via via our WIM creation tool, the same one that we create the ISO with. And what'll happen is that you can then take that WIM, publish it up to your Pixie Boot server, and then anytime when your users have access, internet access to do an F12 or a Pixie Boot, they can boot right down into the Dart image. It'll reboot up, and you can use the image right there in that manner. Another really cool thing you can do with Win8 is that with Windows 8, it installs a Windows Recovery image. How many of you have played with Windows Recovery images or are familiar with them? Good. Excellent. So the way that Dart works is that we are based on top of WinRE, or the Windows Recovery image, and we basically, all you have to do is go and replace the current WinRE on your local drive inside of that little partition that it creates, and then when you do your F8 recovery boot, it will then boot not into the Windows version that it put down, but into ours. And the only difference between the two is that ours has the Dart tools built into that image. And so the hands-on lab actually has detailed steps on how to do the local install and replace your WinRE image. Finally, you can use System Center 2012 configuration manager to deploy out to your enterprise the Dart system in a way that your users will never have to interact at all with. And you can do interesting things. I'm going to show in just a minute a scenario where you can deploy via configuration manager once a week, and you'll be able to clean your machines and tell your management that, hey, you know what? I know that all my systems are clean from a low-level Windows Defender scan because I'm able to push this out with configuration manager. So let's go through a quick demo of how this all works. Great. So what you see here is this is a Dart, this is a VM that has the Dart image already preloaded on it. I've gone in and I've gone through my boot sequence, and all I have to do is, you'll notice that I'm being prompted right now for network connectivity. You can give it network connectivity or you don't have to. For today, I'm going to say yes, absolutely. I want to be able to pull files off and put them on my network wherever I want them. I want to be able to connect using remote connection. We're going to choose a US keyboard. That's just because that's the one that I have. We troubleshoot. And so now I go in and you'll notice that we have a different option than the WinRE, if you're familiar with it, the Microsoft Diagnostics and Recovery Toolset. Going into that, we now are presented with an operating system. Now, if you have multiple operating systems installed, you need to choose the one that you want. Note that Dart version that you're going to get matches the version of the OS that you have installed. So for example, Dart 8 matches Windows 8. Dart 7.5 matches Windows 7. Dart 7 matches Windows Vista. Dart 6.5 matches XP. We've got more documentation online. I'll share a link with you later at the end, towards the end of the presentation. But while you can still run the Dart tools, not everything always works if you mismatch the versions. So I'm just going to select that. Now, you'll notice that these are all the tools for Dart. And the first thing that I want to point out to you is that Locksmith is grayed out. I'm clicking on it now, but I can't do anything on it because I don't want all my users who go in normally to have access to that. We'll talk a little bit later about how that automatically gets turned on. So the first scenario that I want to run through is my legal team has come to me and they've said, you know those privacy statements we were working on? Well, we forgot to back them up and we accidentally deleted them. So what I can do, I say, no problem. I've been planning for this. It's okay. You're set. So I say, okay, it's a doc file. And I'm going to go into browse for it. And I know that, well, let me just show you first before I go in and actually find it, that there's no smoke and mirrors here. I can use the file explorer to go into my C drive, go into my do not delete. I told them to put it in the do not delete folder so that way they'd remember, but they forgot. So here's what we can do. We can go in and restore. And now I'll go and I'll go find that directory because I know it's probably there somewhere. And I'm going to say do not delete. And I'm going to look in that directory, search for deleted files in that directory. This takes just a minute. So while it's going on, I'm going to minimize it there and keep it up so we can still sort of see it. And I'm going to talk about the next tool. The next tool that I want to talk about is our disk wipe. What happens when you want to really make sure that a hard disk is fully clean and that that you have the ability to make sure that you're not going to give away IP for free. This is the tool. You can do a single pass or you can do a four pass. And I'm not going to do it. It takes a really long time. So you can try that on your own time. And it works really well. So we've gone away. We've come back. And all of a sudden, we see that we found lots of privacy documents. So I'm going to go and say, yep, these look like the ones I want. I right-click, and I can copy to folder. Then I can choose the Do Not Delete folder. It'll automatically put them right back there. And you'll notice that there they are. When they go back into their operating system, those files are recovered and they can use them in their and be able to iterate on them and they are all set. Great. Now, The next tool I want to talk about is the hotfix uninstall tool. That's a really cool tool. Again, I'm not going to uninstall anything off of this computer. I just want to show you what it kind of looks like from a high-level overview. That takes a minute to find all my patches and settings. Here it comes. It's taking just a minute. We'll let that go. So the next thing that's happened is my friend, Aaron, had a blue screen. And he doesn't quite understand why or what's happened. And so, as you can see, I could either run the tools here, but in this case, my friend Aaron has sent me the files, and I actually have, and I can go into my crash analyzer on my local box to find out what's going on. So I launch my crash analyzer tool. I then point to my debugger's location. This is, if you don't have it installed, you can install it. It takes about 2 minutes to install after you get it down. Then you can see that I'm going to use the symbols, or I can download the symbols for for speed. I have pre-downloaded the symbols. This is where I go and I browse to the dump file they sent me, either via mail or on a link or on a share someplace. And now what's happening is I just hit go, and it's cracking open the dump file. It's going through and analyzing to see what's actually happening, downloading the symbols that are there, and then it's going to try and help me guess to figure out what actually happened. So in this case, I know that if I look at the file, I say, oh, okay, I see what's going on. NVIDIA, Windows kernel driver. Okay, that means that I can now go and help him or her to get their machine back into a working state. So I can also, if I wanted to, I could go and download the latest NVIDIA driver. In this case, I actually did, and that fixed their problem, and it was great. And they didn't have any more problems until the next time when NVIDIA forgot to update their driver. But let's say that I want to go and communicate with NVIDIA, or if I want to actually do additional diagnostics on the box. I can either go through File Explorer, or another way that I could do this is I can go into a search. And this works just like Windows Search, so I'm going to go look for nvldmkm.sys, and I'm going to go look in approximately the right folder. So I'm going to go browse in my C drive. Whoops. C drive, there we go. And I'm going to go look in the Windows System 32 directory. I'm just going to pull that up. And now I'm going to go and search. And what's happening now behind the scenes is that it's going through and basically looking for files that have that name inside of my, it's just a normal file search. Now I've got it and I can actually copy it to a folder again. I can map a network drive. I can copy it to a folder. I can map a network drive out to my network, copy it off there, and then I am all set if that's what I need to do for diagnostics and recovery. All right, so that's my first set of demos. The next thing I want to prep for you is that, you know, in our enterprise today, maybe some of yours, there are two types of enterprises out there. There are two types of enterprises. There are those that realize that they've been hacked and those who haven't yet realized that they've been hacked. And so the idea is that today, in today's environment, there are threats that are familiar, and then there are threats that are modern. Now, perhaps many of you have had the issue where you don't exactly know what's actually impacting your machines, and so in terms of malware and viruses. Now, Microsoft has done a lot of good work over the last several years to decrease the number of hits and viruses and worms and malware that impact their operating systems. And I want to encourage you to stick around at 5 o'clock. Chris Hallam is going to come back, who is a security PM. He's going to come back and redo his Windows 8 and 8.1 security overview. It's a really great thing to see how our viruses and malware have gone down over time, and especially are down today with Windows 8. But even for that little segment where we have still some malware and viruses, what do you do to secure the boot and have provable PC health while minimally impacting your customers and also using improved Defender tools? So Dart can help you with these scenarios, which is a fantastic story for Dart and for you as well. So what I want to talk about is how you can impact your organization through securing the boot via Dart automation. To do this, the solution that Dart has is, first, you need a way to create the Dart WIM on a regular cadence, probably like on a weekly cadence. And it needs to always have the latest Windows Defender offline definitions. Those definitions actually update twice a day. It's awesome to protect you. The engine, underlying engine, revs about every 6 months, but the definitions rev twice a day. So that's pretty cool. So you want to make sure that on a weekly basis, if you're going to do this weekly, that maybe like on a Friday night, you go and create this image automatically. So that way you're going to then push it out to your network to do the scan, maybe on like a Saturday night or a Sunday night or when no one's around, so you don't impact anyone that's around. You can do this with any deployment mechanism or methodology that you want. Today, we're going to use Configuration Manager to do this task. Finally, in order to show provable health of the systems, you need to be able to go back through the logs and analyze the reports, probably on a weekly or regular basis, in order to ensure to show and prove to your management team that, in fact, you are clean, or that you're fixing things inside of your environment and that you're looking better and better and better. So we're first going to talk about how this is done to create the Dart image with the latest definitions. So the very first thing you're going to do is you're going to download the MDOT tools, and in the MDOT tools is a product called Dart. And as you do so, you're going to install Dart. Now, I'm not going to bore you with how to install Dart. You've all installed products, right? So it's a pretty simple install. But there are some key things in launching the recovery image wizard creation that you should be aware of. The first is that when you create this image, you don't have to select anything but the Defender. Make sure you select the Defender. That will enable the Defender tools to come down on the image and enable them to run locally. Now, the other thing that this is the one place, too, where you go if you wanted to not uncheck the tool locksmith, that would be a great thing to do, and I would highly recommend that for just about every image that you have, except for maybe your own personal image. The next thing that you're going to, next key tab, in order to ensure that your updates are coming when you create the image, is to ensure that the download, the latest definitions, is also checked. Also, you want to ensure that you create the WIM. The WIM is a thing that will enable you to push that into Configuration Manager, blast it out, and then it'll run automatically. Now, if you want to add additional things, you can do so as well. We'll talk about that during the demo. But you might be asking yourself, Aaron, but I thought you said this is automated. I thought you said that this is easy. This doesn't look easy. I have to do this on a weekly basis. Does this mean that every Friday, instead of doing something more fun, like, I don't know, you can think of something that would be more fun on Friday afternoon than doing this. Wouldn't that, what are you talking about, Aaron? Well, actually, there is this option, the Create the PowerShell script. So what happens underneath the covers is that this wizard generates a PowerShell script, and that PowerShell script executes the image creation. So we're actually consuming the thing that we're giving to you as a starting point for creating and automating your image creation process as well. This is what happens, but the key things are really that whatever you say inside of the wizard persists through the PowerShell script. And the second thing that's cool, like the WDO definitions, those are persistent. The second thing that's cool is because it's just PowerShell script, you can go and customize it any way you want for your business. But we do give you a few breadcrumbs for places where we think it would be good for you to customize. These are the commandlets that Dart uses to create the WIM. We use these commandlets with a set of DISM commandlets to make it all work. And I'll go over what the PowerShell script looks like. This is really just for your reference. You can look at this later in the deck if you want. So now you've set up a scheduled task or a weekly event that goes off and creates your weekly image to a central location, and you're done with your image creation. So now what? Now we have to go off and push the image out to the environment. So this is actually pretty simple with Configuration Manager. All that you do is that you stage your WIM as a boot image, then you build the task sequence. Now, I'll go through this. You basically go, if you have BitLocker, you can turn BitLocker on and off. You then reboot into the Dart image. You then use this command line. This is the secret sauce. Secret sauce. For you to be able to do your offline scan automated without any user intervention. And then you reboot back into the image, turn back on your BitLocker. You could also collect your files after the image scan was done in CM, or you can do that later on, after like the next day, because the path that it puts the mount to is the same and is persisted even when you're not running the Dart image. After you get your task sequence all put together and you deploy it and you hook it all up, then you want to deploy the task sequence, maybe do some testing, make sure that everything's working the way that you think it should be done, and then you roll it out to your users. So we've created the WIM in an automated fashion. We've got an infrastructure and a process and a methodology set up to push it out to our users on a regular basis. What's left now is to analyze the reports. So the WDO offline, the Windows Defender offline scan, puts its log files in the path that's green. So all you do is you look for the mpdetection*, files.log typically, and you copy those to a machine-specific folder somewhere on your network, and then you can then weekly go through and find detect in the files that you have. And anytime you find a detect means that you found an issue or a malware was detected inside of WDO. The next line should be verified or found or cleaned or something like that. But detect is the key thing to figure out how much that you're impacted by this. This is an example of a detections file that actually found something. We use the detection key, and it looks like it found the virus DOS Iker test file. That's what that computer was infected with. And so if you look at the next line, it would say whether it cleaned it or whether it was happy or not, and you're all set. So over time, you can see, one, where did viruses originate? If you have machines that can say, oh, well, these are the connectivity that happened between machines. And two, you can also show that you're driving the viruses down. So in review, you've created a Dart image automatically, you've pushed it out to your boxes, and now you're analyzing reports. Let's see how this is done. So, just have to get my VMs up here. There we go. So, pretend like we're on a cooking show. And like every good cooking show, you show the finished product first, and then you show what you had to do to come up with the finished product. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show what this looks like when it's done. So here you are, IT organization. Dart is awesome, examining the WDO scan via Dart. And what's happening on this VM is that at 2 o'clock in the morning or 2:13 or however you decide to push it out on Saturday morning, imagine that this is what the user would see and this is what is happening on their box. It's pushed down the new image. It's now starting the restart process in Configuration Manager. and in a second it will reboot into the Dart image and start the scan. Because this takes a minute to do, I'm just going to make sure first that it's alive. It is. Excellent. And then I'm just going to move it over here to the side, and we'll continue to watch and monitor this process while I describe how this actually happened, how we came about and put this all together. Oh, there it goes. It's staging the boot image. It is on its way. So, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the Dart Recovery Image Wizard. And so, the first thing that's going to happen is that this is what you're going to do to create your WIM. You're going to install this product, or install Dart, and one of the products it installs is the Image Wizard Recovery Image Wizard. It also installs the Crash Analyzer, as well as the Remote Connection Tool when you install the Dart tools. So the first thing I'm going to say is, okay, I'm going to use 64-bit Dart image. Now, the cool thing about Dart 8 is that you don't have to be on a 32-bit operating system to create a 64-bit image, or on a 64-bit operating system to create a 64-bit image. This is a great improvement in Dart 8, is that now you can be on a 32-bit and create 64, or 64 and create 32. So this is the screen that we showed earlier. For this scenario, I'm going to uncheck everything except for my Defender bits. Then I'm going to click Next. This is a screen that's important to just take note of. We'll talk about it more. This is all about remote connection. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So now that my boot, we'll just go over here for a second and see how it's going on. My boot image has been downloaded to machine. It's cached it. It's replaced my boot order Configuration Manager has replaced the boot order to now say when I reboot my machine, boot directly into the Dart image. When it's done with its process, it will actually reverse that and say, okay, now boot back into, it'll revert the boot order and boot directly into your original settings. And we'll show you what that looks like in just a minute. So then I go to the next screen. And again, if you have any drivers, you can add them through this wizard. Or if you want to turn on WinPE functionality, you can do so. The key one here for you to recognize is that I want to download the latest definitions. So once I'm done with that, I'm now going to go into this screen. This is the one where I want to make sure that I create the WIM, and I also create the PowerShell. Now the PowerShell and the WIM and the ISO all get generated into this desktop folder under the path of Dart 8. Now, if you want to go and stage things inside of your image, for example, if you want to add automation or if you want to change things before the image is created, we have the ability for you to go and edit the image. And what that does is that it pulls the image into a audit mode, so that way you can go and change things. Now, to show you what this looks like, I actually pre-staged this one. This is what it looks like if you click edit and then say go next. So as you can see, it says I'm successfully prepped. And after I close this, then I will then create the WIM. So I'm just going to open in Windows Explorer. And you'll notice that I'm in app data, local temp. This is where it's staged and prepped this system. And I've actually wanted to just go down to a file, which I think is very interesting. So there's a file which handles all of the automation. And that file is called winpeshell.ini. Now, this is what we've done inside of our Dart file. We've actually documented in our documentation how this works and how you proceed, so that way you can go and put additional things. These are just every line that you see here will execute in order, and it does it serially. So that's winpeshell.ini if you wanted to go and change something. For example, this is the exe that we use to start the internet connectivity. And so we actually have dash prompt. We also have another mode which is the mode we're doing for, which we do for a different scenario, which allows you to do your remote connection automatically. So that's that one. All right. Now, if you wanted to, since I'm talking about this, let's just finish this up with a thought. Let's say that you already have an ISO, and now you want to come back in and create a USB key, or you want to create a CD-ROM, you can actually go to our bootable media right from this page, select the ISO image, and then select what drive that your USB key or your DVD is at. And what will happen when you select the create bootable media is it will actually create it for you, and you don't have to do anything else. Very slick. We provide that functionality for you so that we don't have to worry about where is my DVD creation media, how do I, but you could if you wanted to, because we create the ISO for you, but we try and streamline that to make your lives easier, as well as creating the DVD and the USB. So if we come over here now, this is great. We booted into the Dart image. Now it says it's running the Defender scan. And you'll notice that the Windows Defender logo is coming up. It'll start in a second pop up, a bigger dialog. It'll show that it's actually scanning the image. And you'll see in a second that it's just on its way, trundling along. It takes about 12 minutes to do on this particular VM setup that I have. Okay. Oh, there it goes. Looks like my definitions are out of date. Oh, dear. I need to fix that. So I'll have to do that another time. So we've talked about what happens when we create the WIM and the image. So now what we can do is one more thing that I want to do and show you is this is what the PowerShell script looks like that we create for you, we generate for you. And as you can see, these are the Dart commandlets that you have. I'm just opening the PowerShell ISE, which allows you to go look at commandlets, see what their parameters are, so you have full documentation here. And this is really just a simple file. So we do, this is where my WIM is, this is where my ISO is. Then we go down and we, if you wanted to add additional drivers, we kind of give you a section for that. We also give you an example of how to call what tool do we use to add drivers. You can add whichever one you want, but we just kind of give you little breadcrumbs here and there. This is also, if you want to add additional WinPE packages, you can do that as well. And then down here, we say this is the configuration that we had when we created just using the Defender and always keep the definitions up to date. And so, and then this is actually, if you wanted to use the script on your own as well, you could, instead of going through the UI, you could also create your DVD or CD-ROM with this command, or you could use this to create your USB key. It's a pretty slick little way that we have provided to you, so that way your lives are easier, and you can get out of the way of trying to figure all this out and just go in and get this all done as fast as possible in a scripted manner. It's the power of a PowerShell. Now, we talked about how to script this. We've set that up. Now we go into the configuration manager side of things. So the very first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take my image, and I'm going to add a boot image. In this case, I'm going to go out to my boot.wim right here. I've actually pre-prepped this for us. So this is the boot WIM that I've created. I'm going to say go open it. And here's a tool of the trade. So if you want to go and use boot image 1, that's the WinPE image, and that never works. So trick is to use the second one whenever you use boot, whenever you use Dart. As long as you're using the second one, we default to go into the second one, and that's the one that Configuration Manager works with as well. And so we give it a name. We can say TechEd Participants Rock. You can name it whatever you want. We'll have our V1 version. And now we're ready to go. So we say next. Pardon me. And what's happening on the backside is that SCCM is opening up the image. It is now working to prep the image, and then it will close the image with its injecting its own SCCM bits, so that way it works in the way that it needs to. We'll just let that go on, trundle on. And now what we'll do is we'll look at the task sequences section. You'll notice that I've already got a current task sequence, which I've named Dart Tech Ed. And there are two areas that you need to look at here. The first is that you need to when you edit it. Okay, great. So we'll stay back on the whim for a second. And what you need, the very only thing that you have to do left for your whim is deploy it. So if we go back to our whim, to our software library, boot images, I can go here, and all you would do is say distribute content, and then that will deploy it, create it, and then you'd be done. And then you can then go into your task sequence, and you can hook up that deployed whim to your sequence, and we'll show you how to do that in just a second. But first, we're going to go in and edit it. And you'll notice that these are the steps that I've created in the current model that work. The first thing that we do is that we're going to disable BitLocker. My VM wasn't BitLockered, so I didn't need it. But certainly, you can disable or enable your BitLocker. If you have a third-party encryption tool, this would be the place where you would go and add their particular logic to unencrypt or unlock the drive. Then you would go and restart the computer. You'll notice that we give the message a cool message or whatever message is informative for your customers so that way they know what's going on. There are two options. The first one is to boot into the image, which is what we're doing now. And later on, we will boot back into the current image. It's really simple. And then finally, the last thing we do is enable BitLocker. Then you just make sure that you run this auto scan. This is the command line, the secret sauce. This is what you have to do to make this go. As you can see, it's the same name, running Windows Defender Scan. Running Windows Defender Scan is the name of the task. And that's all there is to setting up your task sequence, except for after you create your task sequence, you'll want to come in, and I gave it some custom text so that way the users know what's happening. And in the advanced, you need to check the fact that you're using a boot image and then browse to find that boot image. So you'll notice we have test participants rocked, the one we just created. We also have this one. I'm just going to leave it here. And then that's all you need to do. You also need to make sure that, remember that Dart images are architecture specific. So Windows 8 x64 Dart images only work on, well, Windows 8 x64. And so you can check to make sure that you're in parity here with the images that work. So now we've created it. We've now, as you can see, the run is happening and moving forward appropriately. And it's working. It's really simple. And we'll just let this trundle on. We'll come back to it in a little while. So getting back to my presentation then. So the results were that you're able then to go parse those logs, get out the information. 6 months later, your environment is much more clean, no malware found, and your management is just praising you, saying, you know, you're something special. Yeah, you're great. You did a fantastic job. And what happens when you do a fantastic job? Well, your organization is probably like mine. We have lots of problems, so you get more problems to solve. So you might get a promotion, but a promotion just means more work. So then your organization now has a new set of goals that it wants to achieve. And so your organization, perhaps some of yours are in the same boat, are on a cost-cutting spree, and they need to repurpose their boxes. They need to be able to assure management that their machines, these machines that they've been kind of keeping in closets and kind of keeping them off the shelves and kind of turned off, that these machines, before you repurpose them, that you don't lose the important data for why you put them in the closet to begin with. And because they've been there for a while, you don't remember the local admin password, so you really just can't get in there to do what you need to do. So we have a solution for this in Dart. And we will use the locksmith tool to boot into the image, but these boxes might be halfway around the world. So we can use the tool called Remote Connection to remotely go into a Dart image from all the way around the world and boot into it, enable the locksmith command right from our PC, and then we're all set to go. So to do this, though, you need to make sure that your Dart image is enabled with allow remote connections. It has a remote connection tool built into it from the checkbox from before. Now, what happens if you... So how many of you have your ports locked down pretty good? Some of you, yeah? Excellent. So you can either let Windows specify a random port, or you can lock it down to a safe port that you define as a secure port. In today, so for this model, I'm going to use 3388. Also, while you're locked on, you can also tell the user, you know, I'm logged on, I'm your help desk, I'm your best friend, and this is where you contact if you want to have more information about what's actually happening with your computer. So you can give it up to a 2048 character message if you'd like. Now, remember how we locked down Locksmith, and let's say that you have replaced your WinRE image inside of a box, but you've rebooted into it, and now the user doesn't have access to Locksmith, but using the remote connection tool, you re-enable any tool that's been disabled. So that way you have full control over every tool that's in the tool belt while not enabling your users with the same control and authority. This is what it looks like to put together the handshake. The left screen is what you see. Now, to make the handshake happen, on the left side is a remote connection tool. This is what you would see if you went into your image, and we'll actually show this. The key is that this random ticket number is random. There's no way to know what it is beforehand, so that way you're ensured that you have a secure connection. The IP addresses, we allow you to choose any IP address that we know about. They can be any one of them. And then the port is the port either randomly generated or the one that you statically selected that will show up here. On your box, you will need to open the Dart Remote Connection Viewer. You'll enter in the ticket number, the IP address, you click connect, and voila, you're now connected to the box as long as you have an internet connectivity, and the remote connection tool is running on their side. Now, let me just say one more thing about this. In our documentation online, we've actually documented how to automate this as well, because what the remote connection tool generates is a ticket file, just XML, that has the ticket number, the IP address, and the port. So you could actually create a script, go in when you go into the audit mode, update your winpe.ini with your commands to copy that file locally or centrally. You can have a sniffer from your machine that sniffs for those ticket files, opens them up, and then this remote connection viewer actually has the parameters for ticket number, IP address, and port. You can just pass them on in, and you're all set. So to show this off, I have a little demo here to show you what happened. Let me just open up this VM. Here we go. There we go. Switch over. There we are. All right. So if you notice, Locksmith is now disconnected. I'm going to go and open up my remote connection. And you'll notice that there's my ticket number, there's my IP address, and there's my port. Now, I want to make sure that I use the right NIC card, so I grab the right NIC card. I'm now going to come over and add my connect to a computer. So I'm going to type in 906-673-390. 169.2.2.1.35 and 1234. So that's all it is. And I'm going to hit enter, and all of a sudden, I have full control over that Dart session, and I can't do anything over here. As you can see, my mouse is just totally locked up, but if I come over here, I have full control. Now, and if you also look and see, Locksmith became enabled, and now I, as the IT pro, I can do whatever I want to the machine remotely, and while the user is locked out of the tools that I want him, which I want to protect myself from having just anyone have. Locksmith is a great tool. You can go in, and we say, welcome to Locksmith. You now choose whichever admin you want. I'm going to say administrator. I'm going to go and give him a new password. Now you'll notice that I've successfully, that easy, changed the password for the root admin access Next time when I reboot, I will now have access to do so. Locksmith works in a way that you can only change one local password at a time. So you change a password, reboot, then you have to reboot back into Dart Image if you have multiple passwords you want to reboot. But typically, if you can just get the root access, you're going to go into your Windows operating system anyway and just change passwords, because then you'll have admin access anyway. So that's how that works. So now, what's happened is you, as the IT pro, have now become a hero, because you're able to get all that sensitive data off, take it off of the machines that have been really old, but you've been able to get it off and save it, repurpose the boxes, and you've saved the money, you've saved the company not just money, but also time and resources with your good planning and using the Dart tools. So, where can you learn more about Dart? Here's some links where you can find out more information. We have a user forum where you can go and post great things. You can post your questions. You can come and give us customer feedback. We also have a blog, our Springboard blog, as well. And we also have a deployment guide. The deployment guide is super detailed. It has all sorts of information, probably more than you ever wanted to know about Dart. And you can get it here. So in summary, we hope that you've gained an overview of what the Dart tools are. Also, we've gone into detail on Configuration Manager, also how to create USB keys and CD-ROMs and DVDs. We've also spoken just high level to how you can deploy using Pixieboot, as well as replacing your WinRE, and I encourage you to go look at the hands-on lab. We also talked about how the Dart really does make the machine recovery needs for a highly productive and global workforce easy through using robust tools and automation. Now, finally, I also want you to remember that Chris Hallam's talk is going to be here about security. It's a great talk at 5 o'clock, as well as these are some other talks that have already happened this week. They're up here for you to go perhaps look at and look at the videos afterwards and perhaps look at the decks. These are other sessions that are related to the MDOP tools, which are pretty cool. There are also Channel 9 resources. You've probably seen this slide a million times this week. And please evaluate the session, and thank you for your time. We'll take questions if you'd like for the next little while. I'll be here. Oh, and also, those of you that have filled out the survey, will you mind going and handing my friend here will be at the front there if you want to get them from him, or you can bring them up to me. And I have another friend over here who will be picking up surveys as well. I want to really thank you for your time and coming to the Dart session today. I hope you have a great tech ed. Thank you.